from? Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. What does Jesus look like when it concerns alcohol? Again, it's firmly in the gray. And I love the story of the wedding at Cana from the second chapter of John. It's Jesus turning water into wine. Jesus talked about humility and frugality and using our resources as best we could and avoiding drunkenness and licentiousness and all those other lists of sins. And yet his very first miracle in the Gospel of John involved bringing wine to the party. He was at a wedding that ran out of wine. This is a huge faux pas. The wedding is ruined. Everything's over. This is a curse upon that couple. But Jesus happens to be at the wedding. So he turns water into wine and then gives it to the chief wine steward. And notice, the guests had already become drunk, and he brings even more to the party. And I did the math here. Those six purification jars that he turned into wine, that is enough wine for every single person in this room to have 3.5 bottles of wine apiece, including the children. That's a lot of wine. And John tells us it's supposed to be a symbol of God's love for us. It's supposed to be a sign of what Jesus is bringing us. And he wants us to have life and have it abundantly. And he apparently wants us to have a good time as well. This would continue on, especially within our Lutheran tradition. Drinking goes back a very long time. Here's one of the images that Pastor Tracy used in her sermon, Harmony in House and Home. It's a great wood cutting from the Reformation era, and it's Martin Luther playing the lute and singing with his family around the dinner table. But do you notice his neighbor, Philip Melanchthon, who's another founder of the church, sitting on the table? What's he doing? He's drinking a beer. Not shunned, but embraced. And it'll be kind of one sort of really neat intersection between alcohol and faith we can thank Martin Luther for. This is a beer stein given to me by the Nebraska Synod, my former synod. Most synods are pretty boring. They're not really fun. I think Milwaukee Synod, they gave me a pen and a welcome letter, and that was it. In Nebraska, they gave us a beer stein, and it's Martin Luther's own design. There's only water in here. It's not even 9. But on one side, the idea is, did you say, yeah, right? On this side, it says the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And what a great combination. So as you are drinking throughout the night, as you get lower and lower, when you hit the Ten Commandment mark, you have to recite the Ten Commandments. Then when you get down to the Apostles' Creed, you have to recite the Apostles' Creed, and then you have to do the Lord's Prayer. That's my kind of prayer. I don't know about you. But that's a great sort of combination. And we have all different aspects of humanity that combine drinking and singing. And that's the connection I sort of want to make today, is that because drinking and singing together are so intrinsic, it's so linked within humanity, and we also know music and faith are so linked within humanity, maybe there's a way to combine all three into a healthy way. And there's every single culture has a tradition of alcohol and singing together. You might know Oktoberfest if you've ever been to one. I love going to Oktoberfest. I think they're a lot of fun. And some of the best times I've ever had in an Oktoberfest celebration has been singing songs. Another drinking and singing combination found in all culture nowadays, it didn't used to be, it used to just be Japanese culture, but it sort of went everywhere now, is karaoke. How many people like karaoke? Okay, you're weird. I hate karaoke. I think that's so strange. I've never liked it. But, you know, good for you. Or even within the Americana history mindset, if I tell you to picture an old Western saloon, you can imagine the barkeep and the people playing poker and someone kicking in the doors, but who's in the corner of the room? The guy playing the piano, drinking and singing, all combined together. And so, too, it is with our faith. We have a combination of drinking and singing and faith all together, and that's within hymns of the beer hall. Now, I strongly encourage you after the service, when you get home this afternoon, to just look up history of hymns and beer tunes or bar tunes, and it will immediately get divided into those two camps I talked about at the beginning of the sermon. You'll have the pietists and the more open theologically. And the open theologically will say, did you know, they'll say in their Facebook post or in their tweet or in their little blog, they'll say, did you know that a lot of the hymns in our hymnal come from popular folk and bar tunes? Isn't that great? It shows we're supposed to combine these things. And they take it as a wild license to drink as much as they want and sing and do it all in the name of God. On the other hand, you'll have the pietists and their little Facebook posts and their tweet and their little blog, and they'll go, that's actually a common misconception because that's just bar form, which is a type of song construction. It has nothing to do with barroom tunes. And they'll go on and on about musical anthropology and all sorts of stuff. But as we know, it's not black or white. It is somewhere in the gray. And we do have a history of occasionally borrowing a secular tune and manipulating it for our religious purposes. And I know you know some of these songs because we just sang one. The Canticle of the Turning, great music, great lyrics, but that tune is an old sea shanty, which if you've ever partied with sailors, they like to drink. Some of the other ones you might know, Sent Forth by God's Blessing or All Things Now Living, which we're going to sing at the end, that's an old Welsh drinking tune. Same with, I think we're doing O Christ the Same later in the service. I can't remember. You'd have to look in your hymnal. But that set to the tune, you might not recognize the words right away, but you'll recognize the tune. It's Danny Boy, an Irish dirge song. And again, just like the sailors, the Irish know how to drink. There's a lot of songs, some more famous ones. What Child Is This? The song called Greensleeves? That is a scandalous tune. I won't get into the history of it, but it's about prostitutes. It's a very scandalous bar tune that we adapted because we liked the tune so much, and we turned it into religious meaning. So it slowly changed over the years eventually to What Child Is This? And now we're seeing the communion version of it. O Sacred Head Now Wounded, that great Lenten tune, that originally was called My Heart Is Distracted by a Gentle Maiden. Lovely tune, huh? Great title. Or The Water Is Wide. That's one of my personal favorite hymns, and as I was looking into the history of this, I don't know if you know the one, The Water Is Wide, I Cannot Get O'er, and Neither Have I. It's a great hymn, a great tune. That one was originally called I'm Often Drunk and Seldom Sober. And now with all these tunes, what are we supposed to do with this information? Because some people in one camp would be, oh, we should sing those every single Sunday then. Some would go, we should throw those out of the hymnal altogether. Of course, the truth lies somewhere in between. Because people will tell you these facts about the real history of the songs in order to shock you or to make it seem scandalous. But it is none of those things, and it makes sense when you think about it. Because when you're writing a hymn, let's imagine we're the writers of the Canticle of the Turning. And we have these amazing lyrics. My soul shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Great lyrics. You want people to hear this. You want this to be ingrained into people. And as we've talked about throughout this series, if you want people to learn good theology, you have them sing it. So what should you do if you have a song or lyrics you really want people to sing? You find a tune they really like, and that's easy to sing, that they've heard before, and then they can turn into a religious tune. So it's not scandalous. It's not some sort of hegemonic reappropriation either. It's just good theology and living out our faith in a very realistic way, where someone heard a tune they liked, and they said, people can sing this. They like the tune. Let's try and use it for some good. Martin Luther would talk about this occasionally. And it's funny, he's one of those guys who falls into those two different camps altogether again, where sometimes he's quite pietistic and other times he's pretty freewheeling. He says this in the preface to one of his hymnals when he's talking about some of the songs that he adapted from other tunes. And he says, these songs I have now arranged into four parts to give the young, who should at any rate be trained in music and other fine arts, to give them something to wean them away from the love ballads and carnal songs and to teach them something of value in their place, thus combining the good with the pleasing as is proper for youth. So he states it right there. I heard a song. People really like singing it. It was one of those love ballads like My Heart Is Distracted by a Gentle Maid, or one of the other more risque songs. And he said, that's a good tune, though. I like that, so I'm going to adapt that and change that and turn it into something good. So a little bit of pietism there. Later on, just 3 months later, in a letter to his wife, Katerina von Bora, who, by the way, was a great brewmaster and had a very successful business even after Luther's death, he writes this to her, not 3 months after writing that hymnal. "I had the most pleasant night of singing and drinking with my fellow men of the cloth, but the beer was not good and did not agree with me. I said to myself, what good wine and beer I have at home, and also what a pretty lady waiting for me. You would do well to ship me the entire cellar full as soon as possible so I may continue on with my friends." That strange combination of drinking and pietism all rolled into one, into a man of exquisite theology for which we have named our church. And so we lie somewhere in between. Finally, I have one more quote from Luther that is just fabulous about drinking and church combined. And that's, "'Tis far better to be in the alehouse thinking about church than in church thinking about the alehouse." I often bring out this quote during hunting season for hunters. "'Tis far better to be in the hunting stand thinking about church than in the church thinking about the deer stand." It's a great way. You see how that combines the pietism and the freewheeling? All into that one great gray area we live into as Lutherans. And this is that dichotomy I'm talking about. We somehow have to find a way to combine our faith with our real, true lives, whether that involves drinking or not. And I'm not saying drinking is great and you should all do it. I'm not saying alcohol is evil, because the Bible doesn't say either of those things. It says both those things and none of those things altogether. But that's the dichotomy we live in. The law and the gospel, the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. As our opening prayer talked about, we have a foot in two worlds. Our broken creation, earthly one we have right here in front of us, and God's perfect heavenly one that we pray is hastening to us as we speak. And we are caught somewhere in the middle. Our job is not to embrace fully the earthly one and live solely in the spiritual. It's to be in between, here and now, present in the world. And that's what the Music of Faith series has been about. I hope you've enjoyed it so far, or I hope you've enjoyed it these past 4 weeks, because music is so intrinsic to us, it can help us bring our faith into the world around us. So too can be drinking, sharing a good time with friends, having a good time with family, and being honest to who we are. And I have a couple tips for helping you bring your Sunday faith into your Monday life, because it is hard to do. That's why we meet here every week. The first tip I have for you on how to bring your Sunday faith into your Monday life is, first of all, to give it a try, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to live differently, act differently, and speak differently. To use what you have learned together in church and in Scripture and bring it into the world around you. Because it means we do have to live differently. You should catch yourself all the time going, uh-oh, I think I'm having a Jesus moment here. I'm having a time to do what Jesus told me to do. Whether it's compassion, joy, peace, love, all these wonderful things. And it comes in many forms. Like Jesus himself. That's my second tip, is follow the example of Christ. He did a lot of different things. Sometimes he'd go off to pray alone. Sometimes he'd be with his 12 best buds making wine at a wedding, keeping the party going. Sometimes he would be out leading worship at the synagogue. And sometimes he would be turning over tables in that same temple in the name of God. There's a lot of different ways to act out our faith. But the idea is to stay true to who we are and who God has called us to be. And finally, the third tip I have for you on how to live your Sunday faith into your Monday life is to have fun. It is okay to have fun. Do you hear that? It's okay to have fun. Say, it's okay to have fun.
It's okay to have fun.
Okay, you said that like I was asking you to recite your Ten Commandments. Okay, it's okay to have fun. Honestly, there we go. Wonderful, thank you. Often Protestants are, huh? Yeah, no, we're not having beer for coffee hour, no, sorry. But we'll get into where you can find beer and faith together soon. Often some Protestants are described as the frozen chosen, those who don't move and don't like to have fun. And that is no way to live out your faith. Those who are deadly serious all the time are seriously dead and in desperate need of the gospel. We have a lot of amazing people here who like to have fun together in the name of Jesus. I think in our annual report, we said we have over 100 small groups that meet, and I haven't been to one that wasn't an absolute riot. Whether it's Bible studies, I know I have one on Wednesday night, and we have a lot of fun there. It's very open and laid back. Our staff, we have a great time, all the time as staff. If you like serving, well, you should all like serving, but it can be hard sometimes. Find something that's actually fun. Find something you're good at or you like to do, or try something new. It's okay to try new things. So those are my three tips for you on how to combine your Sunday faith to your Monday life. Do not be afraid. Give it a try. Follow the example of Christ and have some fun with it. Would you like an opportunity to try and live this out? Good, because I have one for you, and that's beer and hymns. I've had a couple people come up to me asking me, what is this beer and hymns thing? And I go, well, what do you think it is? It's called beer and hymns, and that's exactly what it is. We're getting together at Lakeside Tuesday at 6:30. We have a wonderful guitarist coming, and we're going to sing songs together, and we're going to have some drinks together, and we're going to have a good time as a faith community out in the world. But also, it's not all that freewheeling or pietism. It's both combined. If you don't like beer, fine. Get a cocktail or a glass of wine. If you don't drink, you are still invited. There's plenty of non-alcoholic drinks. Have a soda. Have a water. It's about being together and singing in the real world. No one is going to force you to drink. Also, this is a family-friendly event. Some people go, oh, that's not family-friendly. Yes, it is. Because we're not falling into either of those camps. We're not doing the freewheeling. We're not falling into the drunkenness, because we're not supposed to do that, as Paul tells us. Again, we're not supposed to fall into pietism either. So what's the healthy in-between? To model healthy drinking as a community for our children and families. So this is definitely a family event. There's one opportunity for you right there. And we have lots of other wonderful opportunities. Go and look at our ministry fair. We have Men's Sunday, Kikatidi Sunday, Reformation Sunday, Women's Sunday, all these wonderful testaments to living our faith in the world around us coming up in the weeks to come, and look forward to that. Amen.